Well, we appreciate very much Brother Bruce's presentation. I give my hearty amen to everything that he said. Those of you who are members of the congregation here know that I have believed and preached the same thing. I think that there's a severe problem among many young Christians today with some of these things, especially what he said about dancing. And how many young people go to the prom, and how many parents encourage their children to go there in lewd clothing and allow them to participate in that behavior with no repercussions. So I appreciate very much what you said about that, brother. I'll begin with a comment, but before I do, of course, we're going to open for questions now, and I'll remind everybody of what the principles are we'll follow. This is an assembly of the church. Only men will speak in accordance with the teachings of 1 Corinthians 14:34. Only brothers in the church, and only one man at a time. We'll call on you if you raise your hand, give you the microphone, ask that you'd stand and speak into the microphone, and ask the question, and Bruce will answer it, or do the best that he can to answer. So, please do not shout out from your pew. Let's not have several people speaking at the same time so that we follow what the scriptures teach about an orderly assembly. So whoever wants to ask a question, you start raising your hand, I'll take note of you. In the meantime, I'll just say something and see if Bruce has a comment on it. I was reading that in the last 15 years, the sexual content in sitcoms, situational comedies, has increased by over 90%. And somebody was saying that there is great motive there, obviously through wicked men, but ultimately from the devil, that if he can get you to laugh at sodomy, and immorality and depravity and wickedness and fornication and think of those bestiality, think of those things as a joke, you'll never take them as seriously. You'll never be as offended by them again. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. When it ceases to be something that's is appalling and becomes something that's entertaining, we'll accept it. You know, if somebody walks up and calls you fat and ugly, you're not going to take it very well. And you're not going to think of them very highly after that. But if they walk up to you and tell you how much they appreciate you and how much they love you, no matter who they are, you're going to have a special spot in your mind and your heart for them. And that's the way it works. And of course, the writers of these sitcoms, they understand that. And this is something that's been going on for many, many years now. My wife and I have been married nearly 20 years. And at our house, we've had satellite television there. We don't watch hardly ever watch network television. We're usually watching the History Channel or A&E or something like that. But there was a sitcom that we used to watch after we first got married, and we noticed on one of the channels that it was coming on, so we just sat and recorded some episodes of it and started watching it, and I was amazed. You know, it's kind of one of those things that, how in the world did I ever watch this in the first place, you know? But it was from stuff from 20 years ago. They made light of marriage, they made light of the Lord, they made light especially though of promiscuity and advertised it as something that not only is good but something that is desirable and the norm, and you're an oddball of course if you don't submit to that norm.
Shahid Jurgen.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Appreciate what you have to say. I've been to several places over the last couple of months to preach, and I've seen something that seems to be becoming very common among some of our young people who are dating. They'll be sitting in the pew during a church service where their bodies are totally, there's unmarried kids, of course, but bodies are totally connected. There's no space between them, and one of them has a hand on the other one's thigh, and the other one is rubbing the other one's back or putting their hand through their hair or something like that. And of course, this is what they're doing in worship. I can only imagine what they're doing out of worship. But let's just talk about that. What is wrong with that, and why is that something we should be concerned about?
Well, all of that we once called it inappropriate touching. What that does, and the heart of it, whether they realize it or not, or give much thought to it or not, is that you stimulate senses and thoughts and ideas by the way you touch somebody, and there is inappropriate touching. It is inappropriate for a young man or a young woman who is not married to one another to lay their hand on each other's leg or close to their groin or places that, of course, are not appropriate at all. Now, we see that all the time today, not just in the church, but almost everywhere. And, of course, that's a problem with lasciviousness. That's lustful. And that's something that our children really, really need to guard against. Like I say, and I know we all know carnal men, but, you know, their mindset of a carnal man today who tends only to his sensual desires, he knows what that's all about. It's about seducing a woman. It's about seducing a man. And, you know, I'll say this too. When I was growing up, which wasn't all that long ago, young ladies were still young ladies. Now, all of them today, you can't hardly call that. They are just as carnal and crass as the young boys are. And they're just as game for something sinful as these young boys are. And the result is there's a lot of patty fingers and handsing that goes on that absolutely is inappropriate.
Glenn Osborne.
Saw an article and I posted it on my Facebook thing that had a video of a young person that was a young dance class. That was the girls that participated were part of evidently a program that I have never seen on cable television called Dance Moms. And the kids were between the ages of 6 to 12, I believe. And they did a burlesque show. And the parents, even worldly parents, you know, confronted the teacher. And the teacher said, well, now, it wasn't real nudity. It just had the illusion of nudity. And I thought, well, now that's an answer. You know, that is just horrible. And I think that parents know that children, real small, aren't necessarily, you know, have a sensual or a sexual connotation. They just want to get out and play sometimes. But at the same time, I've been to gyms where gymnastics were being taught and the kids were just having fun, you know, that they weren't dressed properly. But the adults that were there, now that's just inappropriate. It's as inappropriate as any other place. And yet parents, you know, want to think everything's fine and want their kids to be engaged in a lot of these things. And I just think we need to think it through. I mean, as my wife always says, what were they thinking? You know? And I think all of us, sometimes we need to recognize the habits that we may allow our children as young adults, they're going to grow up and wonder why things changed. If we allow our children to run around naked in our front yards and all these other kinds of things, naked in front of people at school and other things, they're not going to know the distinction or, you know, whatever it might come. And all I'm just saying is I think parents, absolutely, I don't know about everybody's parents, but my parents sat us down and had talks about it. And my dad, I didn't get to see the end of half of the movies that we watched. My dad, we go, oh, here it's coming. And Dad would get up and the TV would be off. And it has an off switch for a reason. And I think we need to protect our children. And we're no longer protecting them. Put the computer in the front room. Get the TVs out of their bedroom. Those are things that are practical.
I think you're absolutely right, and I appreciate that. I'll say, too, especially in regard to children and young children, there is a complete difference in the style of clothes that young girls wear today than what they wore 20 years ago. You know, I see these little girls, 10, 12 years old, and they're dressed in tight pants or capris and wear tank tops, have on two or three different kinds of tank tops. And listen, if you can keep a 10-year-old girl decent in a tank top that's cut down to her belly button, I don't believe it. She's indecent to start with, but that's the way we dress them today. Now, if you keep track of the sex, what do you call it, predators? I don't know how you call it. Where's an offenders list in Oklahoma? And you can look up where every offender lives. In Choctaw County, there where I live, I've got a little app on my phone, or I go to the website several times a year and just look and see who's where. We're overrun with them today. And yet at the same time, we advertise our little girls in a very lascivious way, in a very lascivious setting. And I think, you know, those are desires that those people have to deal with. But I'm afraid as a society, we set them up for failure by dressing our little girls in a way that is too mature and indecent. Our kids are involved in showing animals and through FFA and 4-H there at home. And a couple of years ago, some of the moms in the Booster Club got together. They always have T-shirts printed up, but they had a bunch of wind pants or those vinyl pants, you know, for the kids to wash the animals in. And they had a bunch of them made up. And for the little girls, on the seat of those breeches, they had some wording on, I can't remember, some slogan we had that year. And to me, that's inappropriate. You know, I don't want anybody looking at my daughter's backside, let alone a 10-year-old girl. That is inappropriate. But it just goes to show that our mentality and the clothing for young girls and young boys too, but I notice young girls especially, has so changed and so matured. And it's not for the good. The change is not for the good.
Well, I'll ask another question. And this is one that when Shahi and I were putting the topics together, one of the things that motivated us to ask me to give this talk, well, what motivated us, we heard Bruce preach this at a New Year's meeting. We enjoyed it so much and found it to be so well put together that we felt like it needed to be preached again and hopefully published throughout the land. But certain questions were submitted to us, and one was, there's a lot of young people in the church today who are involved in performing arts in their high schools. And in our particular age, high school performing arts are not necessarily designed for children. I mean, that's a pretty vulgar language and very serious and sensual themes be discussed. And sometimes they call upon these young people to do things, to passionately kiss each other and other things like that. And I take a little bit stricter of a position than some people about how passionate people who aren't married should be with one another. But even those who might disagree with me are faced with a difficulty here. Is it appropriate for people to perform lewd and improper acts and explain it by saying, well, I'm just acting. It's just a show. And we have a lot of people who might be getting into the musical entertainment industry, and I haven't heard about any Christian young people wanting to become actors, but you never know. And that might be something they'd be asked or called upon to do, to simulate some kind of sexual or perverse activity. And sometimes the simulations get pretty real themselves. What would you have to say about that?
I do think that falls under the heading of lasciviousness, even if it is a simulation or portrayal. You run the risk of giving rise or feeding lustful desires, and that's what lasciviousness is all about. And I encourage parents to get involved, especially those kind of things, and see what your children are involved in, and say no. They're your children. Be the parent. Step up and say no. Nothing wrong. You know, there's a problem we have today as a society as a whole of parents who want to be their children's friend. Well, you're not your children's friend. You're their parent. Be the parent. My personal conviction, and it's just my personal belief, we don't celebrate holidays. We don't celebrate Christmas in my household, and that's my personal belief. I've taught my children that, and I've educated the school system there where my children attend. Thankfully, we've not had much problem. Every once in a while, you'll have a teacher who'll say, well, you know, we're going to do this, and they're going to have to be involved in it. No, they're not. But it's my child, not yours. I'm the parent. I'll say what they're involved. Well, then they're going to get a failing grade for this. Give them an F. We're not going to do it. There's nothing wrong with you as a parent saying, I don't think this is right. We are not going to be involved in it. And I encourage our parents to do that very thing. Be involved with your children. Sit down and talk with them. You know, one of the most important things you'll ever do with your children is sit down and talk to them. Whether you're studying the Bible, talking about how their day went, or talking about some problem, the most important thing you'll do is just sit down and talk to them. And I'll guarantee you, if you do not provide them somebody to talk to, somebody that they can come to, the day's coming when you're going to regret that. There are some children who don't have anybody to go to. And there are some children who have to go to somebody who's not trustworthy. And the most important thing you'll do is be a parent to your kids, especially in this society we're living in.
Any other brother have any questions? If not, I'll ask one more. Y'all's fault. You can intercept me if you want to. I just wanted to ask one more question here about, you talked about short shorts and short skirts and things of that nature. When people sit down, the effect that can have on their clothing, or when a gust of wind blows through or something like that. People who find clothing that is modest in the most calm of settings only. But over here in Isaiah, the 47th chapter, when Babylon is described metaphorically as a woman who's crossing the river, and he says that and she uncovers the thigh, says, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers, your nakedness shall be uncovered, yes, your shame will be seen. Do you believe that that is teaching that to expose the flesh of the thigh is to expose nakedness, and that that would be lascivious?
I think so. I think that is my belief on that is a sacred principle. You find that principle when God is framing the Old Testament law. He made linen breeches for the priests to wear under their garments. Now, they were not some kind of just fruit of the loom. Where the altar was situated when the priest ascended the altar, it was a very real possibility of being able to see up his garments. Here's what God said. God said, now this was not the law said, God said, this is what I want covered. This is the principle that God brought to the law. Whenever he inspires Isaiah with that vision, that's the same principle that he brings to Isaiah. I believe it's a divine principle. I don't think it's attached to the Old Testament law. I don't think it's attached to Old Testament prophecy, except in the fact that it's what God described. God said, this is what I want covered because this is what I deem nakedness. You see that same kind of principle in the account of Adam and Eve. They, of course, realized they were naked and they put fig leaves on. And whenever God encountered them, of course, they were not dressed correctly until God dressed them according to His principle. And I think that's a divine principle. And I think that applies to us today. You know, I made that mention about men wearing shorts. And I know a lot of our brethren do that. That comes down below the knee. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that's immodest. I'm not wild about it. Again, the devil won't tempt me with that. But be careful. Be careful what you wear. Because you can get yourself in situations, just as a Christian woman does with a dress, where you're no longer modest.
Do you have any closing comments?
Not really. I think we've talked enough, haven't we? I think, to me, the most distressing thing about this subject is that it is so widespread in our society. And it pervades men's minds, and you see it in everything. Every kind of advertising, from the most innocent thing to the most vulgar. And that teaches me that as Christians, we have got to be extremely, extremely protective of our hearts and of our minds. The wise man said, guard your heart. Out of it come the issues of life. And I'll say too, for my part, I think we need some old-fashioned preaching on lasciviousness. We need some descriptions of what it is and how it works. This issue, like a lot of other issues, we've tried to find some kind, political, gentle, easy way of saying it without hurting people's feelings. And that's just not going to work. The result is we see moral decay not only outside the church, but inside the church too.